You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here with Rory DeLaghi to look ahead to the best of Wednesday's racing. Plenty of action to look forward to on Wednesday. We've got action at Brighton, Chepstow and Pontefract in the afternoon, and Kempton and Newcastle in the evening domestically. There's also a card over the Irish at Sligo. So plenty of racing, and we're going to look at one race at Brighton, two at Pontefract and one at Newcastle in just a few moments. But firstly, hello Mr. Rory DeLaghi, and how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Good to hear. We're going to just have a quick chat first about the Shergar Cup, of course, coming up at the weekend, and the jockeys have been announced for each team. Jamie Spencer, Pat Smullen and Adam Kirby will be representing Great Britain and Ireland. For Europe, it's Olivier Pellier, Vincent Chemineau and Adrie De Vree. For the girls, Emma Jane Wilson, Hayley Turner and Cathy Gannon. And for the rest of the world, Kerin McAvoy, Blake Shin and Yutaka Taki. So some names that we've seen at the Shergar Cup before. Firstly, as a concept, are you a fan of the Shergar Cup at Ascot, or is it something that it's maybe not for the purists?
No, I think it's a fair point to say that. Although it is growing on me a little bit, the idea that that you can sort of repackage racing as a team sport has limited appeal, but as a one off. It's been successful. It gets a very big crowd and a very enthusiastic crowd as well. And that's essentially the bottom line, isn't it? We're not pretending it's something that it isn't. The races are, to be honest, largely forgettable, although reasonable quality.
And you often get the each way terms, at least from a betting point of view. There's often eight runners or nine runners, or they make it.
Yeah, it's packaged in such a way that it does appeal for betting purposes. The fields are not overly large, and yet you're pretty much guaranteed that you will have minimum eight runners in them. So there is that aspect, whereas each way punters often badly catered for.
But at the same time, there may be a horse that on form you strongly fancy, who gets a jockey who doesn't know the horse, has never ridden the horse, and it would temper enthusiasm a little.
Yeah, although we saw last year that who won the individual jockeys championship? Emma Jane Wilson did tremendously well.
Yes, I think she did.
Yeah, I think she did as well. Unfortunately, I was very sweet on one that she rode that was beaten a short head where she dropped her whip. But she still gave it a very good ride aside from that, and she rode exceptionally well through the day. So the notion that somehow you want to have the local jockeys on your side is far from the case, although sometimes the weak link is the rest of the world jockeys at times. We got Kerin McAvoy this time around. We had Craig Williams last year, didn't we? Who did a tremendously good job in terms of promoting the event as well. And you got to see how enthusiastically he talked about the event when he was interviewed after the first race. I think he won the first race, didn't he? Talked really well, showed how important it is for jockeys to promote the sport, which is something we still need to learn a little bit about. And so there are aspects we can learn from the Shergar Cup, and hopefully it'll be as big a success as it was last year, because I thought it went very well.
Okay, interesting stuff that coming up, of course, over the weekend. So I'm sure that Mark Walton will be covering that in coming racing podcasts. But we're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing now, and we're going to start with Brighton's 3:20. It is a handicap over almost a mile, just shy of nine runners down to go to post, and quite a few of these arrive in rude health, to be honest, Rory. Plenty of informed types. Where should we start with this one?
Yes, it's one of the better races run at Brighton during the season, an 18 grand handicap. Not to 80, the Brighton Mile Challenge. I want to concentrate on two. For all there are several in here with chances. There's a little explored angle in mile races at Brighton, in that unlike a lot of tracks in this country, it's not an oval. It's not rounds. It's M-shaped essentially. The seven furlongs, 216 yard start comes immediately before a right-hand turn.
Okay.
And therefore, you tend to look for horses drawn low as being advantaged here with the lows generally against the inside rail. That's not the case at Brighton over this trip. And the horses drawn high actually have an advantage. Last year's winner, Mime Dance, has drawn 13 off 13. Only 12 ran in the end, but 13 of 12, if you like. And the high draws dominated. The field's not really big enough for that to be a massive factor here, but it still makes a little bit of a difference. The two who want to lead are Pick a Little and Shifting Star. I think a lot of people will side with Pick a Little, who's drawn in stall two, thinking that's a better place to be than stall seven. Mm. But actually, definitely not the case. Shifting Star will be advantaged. He's a 10-year-old now. And interestingly, we've been talking about the Shergar Cup, because he actually won the Shergar Cup sprint about 6 or 7 years ago. And has been rated as high as 99 in the past. So although he's up to a mark of 67, having won over course and distance this season and finished second in his last two starts, it's easy to say that as a 10-year-old, the mark of 67 should prove beyond him. But he does have a degree of back class. He's tremendously consistent. Third, first, third, second, second in his last five handicap starts. Is in very, very good heart at the moment. Has a tremendous attitude as well. Usually leads or disputes the leads and finds tons for pressure. He was a little bit unlucky to be beaten at Windsor two starts ago. Interestingly, that day he was short-headed on the line by Pyrocumulus. And that was such an unlikely result that Mike Cattermole called Shifting Star as having beaten the third horse. And then only after the line mentioned that Pyrocumulus was finishing fast into second. Pyrocumulus actually won the race, but came out of camera shot and got it on the line. He's drawn in stall 9 of 9, Pyrocumulus. He'll be coming from the rear of the field. So whether his draw is advantageous is open to debate. But he also caught the eye in a couple of starts since, which backs up the fact that the Windsor run is pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
I think Shifting Star will run well, and I think his main danger is Pyrocumulus, who followed that win at Windsor with a dreadfully unlucky run at Chester, where he could never open up, met serious trouble in running and finished fifth. He was turned out 48 hours later to win easily at Wolverhampton. He does need a little bit of luck in running given his run style, but they tend to spread out a bit at Brighton in the closing stages. He'll be coming from the rear of the field and again will be attacking Shifting Star in the closing stages. I'm hoping it'll be a good battle between the pair of them. I expect that Shifting Star will be overpriced. John Bridger's not firing in too many winners at the moment, but Shifting Star keeps running well. Might well be a double-figure price in this race, and as a result, would just about be the call. If there's not much between him and Pyrocumulus in the betting, then I might be swayed the other way, but I'll put Shifting Star up as the selection at this stage.
Okay, an interesting race in prospect there at Brighton. We'll move north then to Pontefract for the 3:40, a handicap over a mile and a half. Eight runners going to post in this one, and a real mishmash of types here, Rory. We've got some unexposed, some that are thoroughly exposed, some out of form, some very much in form. Where do you want to start with this one?
I suppose you've got a couple of very classy ones at the top of the market, in top of the weights rather, in Penhill and Plutocracy, from yards going well at the moment. Penhill joined Luca Kamani for big money and was hugely impressive on his first start for the yard at Ascot, looking like the world would be his oyster at that stage, when he easily won a mile and a half handicap off a mark of 86. The form of that has worked out as well, but he's been disappointing in two starts since, albeit far from disgraced in the old Newton Cup last time in a race that wasn't run to suit him. They went very steadily in that race and he pulled hard at the back of the field. The issue with him is getting him settled, because he has been free in all three starts this season. He's got tons of ability. He's an absolutely stunning horse as well. We'll be picking the paddock for sure. That's because he's almost black, essentially. Tremendous athletic build as well, and horses like that tend to stand out. But he does need to settle, and he does need to make sure he gets a clear passage here, which at Pontefract is far from certain. It's not a great track for hold-up horses. And as a result, I am going to take a chance on the probable front-runner here, Cragganock, for Mark Walford. Graham Gibbons takes the ride. He's a horse who promised plenty last season. Things didn't really go his way after he won over course and distance in June last year. He would have gone close at third next time, but they ran that race in a thunderstorm and he ended up probably struggling a little bit because of the conditions. They ended up turning heavy. He had a similar scenario at Pontefract in his next start. In fact, it was at Pontefract where the rain was absolutely lashing down during the race. The ground had turned heavy at Thirsk before he started, but at Pontefract they were running into a storm and that was just a nightmare for him. He didn't get home at all. He was given a break after that and came back to show that he was well handicapped by winning easily at Thirsk in May. And he followed that up at Haydock last time out when always prominent. He's probably going to be asked to go forward and lead here from stall one. He's clearly well suited by the track. I think he's ideally suited by goodish ground as well. It was disappointing, obviously, and heavy, and that Pontefract run came on theoretically good ground, but it was deteriorating rapidly at the time. So on what should be a soundish surface at Pontefract tomorrow, I think he's got plenty in his favour. He does have a couple of classy horses to beat in the likes of Penhill and Petocracy, and if Penhill settles and gets a clear run through, then he's going to be very hard to beat. But Cragganock, we know he's going to get a clear run. He should get the run of things from the front, and that just tips the balance in his favour at the likely odds.
Okay, Cragganock the pick then in Pontefract 340. Next up is Pontefract 410. A handicap over 5 furlongs. 9 runners down to go to post for this one, Rory. And not many of these are arriving in superb form, not winning form at least. Ruby's Day is one that did win last time out, but the rest of them sort of scratching around the odd place here and there. What do you fancy in this one?
Yeah, it's a competitive race and a difficult race to find the winner of, but not a great one in terms of form. I think what happens at Ripon tonight might make a slight difference. It's a race at Ripon, which will be run by the time most people are listening to this, which is named in honour of the late David Chapman. And this race is named in honour of David Chapman's finest performer, Chapman's Club, who was a multiple sprint handicap winner. He twice won the Channel 4 trophy for most races won in a season, which is absolutely remarkable. I think those awards came 3 seasons apart as well. And Cosmic Chatter is trained by Ruth Carr, who is David Chapman's granddaughter. I know that she's been particularly keen to win the race named in his honour at Ripon with a horse who runs in his colours. And she's got Cosmic Chatter here, and I would imagine this is another race that she's had her mind on for a while. And Cosmic Chatter returned to form last time out at Beverley when finishing second to Jack Louis. He's become well handicapped, dropped a mark of 72, is able to race off the same mark again here. He's also got a decent draw on stall two. You ideally want to be drawn low. This track, which is constantly turning despite the fact that it's got a very wide circumference. So a drawn stall two, the ability to race handily, he made the running 2 stars to go at Ayr, and the fact that he's almost certainly been aimed at the race tips the scales very much in his favour in a race where there are reasons to be against most of the field.
Okay, Cosmic Chatter then for Ruth Carr in Pontefract's 410. The final race we're going to look at is Newcastle's 550. 5 furlongs the trip for this one, 9 runners going to post, and some interesting types in here, some unexposed ones, some horses that like it a lot at Newcastle. Quite an intriguing contest to close this, Rory.
It is. There are various different types in here. The likes of Go On Harry, who's been running really consistently this year. She's been runner-up at Ayr in her last 2 starts, just caught in the shadow of the post last time, beaten in a photo finish before that. And she's certain to run her race again, although she is now £2 higher than for her latest defeat. So the handicapper knows where he stands with her, but she does look liable to run well again. She is a forward goer. She's not the likeliest front runner in this field for all. She made the running at Ayr last time out, but she should always be up there, and stall four is fine. You'd expect this race to develop up the centre of the track. That's where the stalls are. And there hasn't really been a bias towards either of the rails at Newcastle in recent times. Another one who's very interesting, completely unexposed, is Samhain, who I'm hoping is not going to be called Sam Hain on the day. David Brown's son of Compton Place has been very lightly raced in recent times. He's only had a couple of runs since October 2013, both on the fibre sand at Southall, both impressive wins. A handicap off a mark of 55 in March 2004, and then after almost a year off, he landed something of a gamble when winning off a mark of 67, beating Bapak Bangsawan with tons to spare. The worry with him, of course, is that he's been 5 months out of action again, and clearly he's hard to keep sound, and you do have to worry about whether he would need a fibre sand surface to show his form. So he's reluctantly passed over for all. He still looks well handicapped off 77. The front runners are liable to be I'll Be Good and Keep It Dark, who are drawn next to each other. Keep It Dark has got 2 ways of running in terms of style. He was out the back at York 2 runs ago, but always handy at Chelmsford last time out. He's not been in terrific form since his reappearance this season, and he could ideally do with a little bit of rain. But he's from a yard who's in my eyes, are coming back to form. Tony Coyle trains. Tony's not had a great time on the flat recently, but his last few runners have been showing much better signs. He had a runner-up over hurdles at Market Raisin on Sunday when I was here. He had a horse at a massive price that ran really well in a competitive handicap at Doncaster as well. And my impression is that Tony Coyle's horses are beginning to find their feet again. Keep It Dark has dropped to a mark of 75, which he can win off. It may be that he needs another run and he needs softer ground to bounce back to form. But he does have the opportunity from stall 7 here of moving towards the stand rail. As I said, I don't think it's necessarily an advantage to be there. But Keep It Dark seems to give his best running when able to race on his own. So he's got two horses who tend to race midfield on his immediate outside. And if he can get out in front and then move a little bit to his right towards the rail so he can get space to run in, and that's liable to see the best of him. He's shown some of his best form at Newcastle in the past. He's a winner over 7 furlongs here. He's run very well over course and distance as well. And given his profile, we'll see him at a biggish price. I think he could be a sporting bet.
Okay, Keep It Dark, the pick then in Newcastle's 5.50. Great stuff, Rory. Enjoy all of Wednesday's racing, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.